today on Real Radio.
Listen, we pray so wrong often. God, I'm praying, just give us your peace. Give us your peace. Have you ever prayed like that? Give us your peace, God. We're going to wait here until you give us your peace. And God is just going, what's wrong with them? I sent them my book. They can read it. Don't they? Why don't they read it? He's not going to send us his peace. He already sent us his peace. It's like a package that's at your house and you're going, where is that thing?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Now, don't let that title scare you. We're going to jump right in. God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what's going to happen in the last days when he returns to set up his new kingdom on earth. In Isaiah chapter 25, we learn that there are things we have to wait for, and as earthly beings, we got to learn how to deal with the anticipation. God promises us a real, honest-to-goodness model world where God will make things right and our praise and worship to a faithful God will become even more precious, where our body, soul, and spirit will be made new and Satan will no longer be the ruler of the age. Now in chapter 26, we're going to continue looking into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's commonly called the millennial reign, of Jesus Christ. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God is not a tyrant. His desire is for us to come to him, to trust him with our lives. Our minds are constantly under attack. It's Satan's desire to keep us in doubt and in turmoil. But God says we will have perfect peace if our minds are anchored on him. And now continuing his lesson called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
She gets all the leftovers while you know, sweetie at the office had all the best pictures of the guy, kind of, you know, oh, look at him. He just saved that copy machine and all this stuff. He's like, his name's my hero. So I'll put a sock in it. Listen, it's part of the big temptation. It's part of the big temptation. But anybody can look like someone's hero in that environment. Let's see him when he gets home. Let's see her when they're home, you know? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where Christianity really happens. It's not in church and it's not so much at the office. It's when you get home. When you let down your guard, what's up? Right? Think of it. God's keeping power. And by the way, and he says here that he will keep you in perfect peace. The word is complete peace. And by the way, make note of it. This is the peace of God. This is written to the believer. It's not peace with God. There's two types of peace in the Bible. There's the peace with God. Some of you maybe, I don't know, if you're not a Christian, you do not have peace with God. Frankly, God is at war with you because you're at war with God. You do not have peace with God. The war is on. You are in a state of war with the creator of the universe. You're shaking your fist at him. You don't care about him. And you curse his name. Every chance you get, his name flies out of your face. And it's not a good... It's not a good praise way of doing it. And you're angry with God. And you're an enemy of God. God's your enemy. You have no peace with God. But when you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, the war's over. And when you're a child of God, now what happens? The peace of God comes into your life. The Christian, me, you should be the most peace-filled people on earth, us. We should have the most peace. Yeah. And it's provided, by the way. Don't ever pray this, Lord, give us your peace. Listen, we pray so wrong often. God, I'm praying, just give us your peace. Give us your peace. Have you ever prayed like that? Give us your peace, God. We're going to wait here until you give us your peace. And God is just going, what's wrong with them? I sent them my book. They can read it. Why don't they read it? He's not going to send us his peace. He already sent us his peace. It's like a package that's at your house and you're going, where is that thing? It's right in your house already. Oh, God, show us your power. Just show us your power. Show us. And God's going, I sent them my power 2,000 years ago in the Holy Spirit. Lord, show us your truth. And I'm sure about at that point, he just goes, you know, Gabriel, I don't want to hear this anymore. Just plug my ears, you know. He's already done so much. He's done everything we need for godliness and for stability and strength. We just need to use what he's given us. Peace. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There is a prayer. Oh God, help me now. Lord, I need your help, Lord, so that I will let your peace rule in my heart. You see? It's right there. It's right in front of us. It's no further away from you than it is from me. It's right there. Imagine going to In-N-Out Burger and you've got, I don't know how much a double-double is. Was it $5? How much? It's $3.70. That's that cheap? Okay, so you have $4 in your pocket. That's a deal. You have $4 in your pocket and you're standing there and they're making burgers right there and you have $4 in your pocket and you're going, I sure wish I could eat one. Man, I'm hungry. Well, really? Well, then pull the money out of your pocket and get one. And a lot of times Christianity is like that. God has provided us his peace and we don't have it. It's not because he's lacking. It's us. He's provided it. God wants that peace of his to rule in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace. Why are you confused? You know, peace. You can't have peace if you're confused. Are you confused, or are you living in a place or state of confusion? Just know that God is not in that. Is there something that is completely whacking you out? It's confusing. It doesn't make sense. This should not be happening. We should be one, or we should be together, or we should be unified on this, and it's not happening. We should be working down the same path, the same goal, but we're fragmented. Confusion. God's not causing it. God's not dealing that card. What's going on? Listen, man, woman, boy, girl, husband, wife, you're at war. There's a spiritual war going on against your life. And you may not think so because it seems so natural, but there's attitudes now. Boy, what's with him? What's with her? What's the deal? What's coming out of their mouth? What's that all about? What's that thought? The enemy is shooting his darts of suggestion into your mind. So subtle, but you're confused. I don't know what to do. What about depression? Christians, I have a book written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. You ought to get it. It's called Spiritual Depression by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Christian classic. Spiritual depression. How can a Christian be depressed? You need to talk to Dr. Jones. He's a medical doctor and one of the greatest preachers the church has had in the last couple hundred years. And he addresses it brilliantly. Some of the great depression that we might be going through is the fact that, man, I don't know why I feel the way I do. I just feel like I walked into a dark cloud. Or maybe you've been there for like the last couple of days and you didn't realize. You woke up and you just, wait, I have been in a funk. I have been in a cloud, in a fog for like 3 days. And I didn't realize it until just now. I feel dead. I feel isolated. I feel cold. I feel like the heavens are like brass. I feel like I can't see. I can't get an answer. You're under attack by the forces of darkness, by demonic powers, the Bible warns us. Then God's peace comes in. Lord, I need your peace. Open my eyes to see it and my hands and my heart to receive it. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. How cool is that? Do you need that? And then it says, whose mind is stayed on thee, on you, on God. Whose mind? That is our mind being stayed on you, God. Mind. The word mind, listen, the Hebrew word here is Conceptions, imaginations, meditations, thoughts. Wow. Whose meditations, listen, imaginations are stayed. The word is anchored, made secure, sure-footed, immovable. So let me read it in the amplified manner. You and I, whose imaginations, thoughts, meditations, concepts in our minds are anchored, secure, firm on God. We are to conduct, we're to preside over our minds, everybody. The mind. Everything is battling for your mind, not your heart. Not your heart. The heart cannot be captured. You got to go through the mind first. And the world knows it. Everything about how you and I are derailed comes through sound or sight, feel, mind. It comes to the mind. It's got to be processed first with what we hear. You might listen to something. Could be gossip or some erotic thing, some whisper or some shout, whatever it is, and it causes you to respond. What is that? And you got to be on guard. And then whatever you see, you've got to discern. Constantly, our minds as Christians should be, what is that? Scanning, like a scanner, like radar, like sonar, constantly. What is that? What is that? What's that? When we get lazy and sloppy, our mind and its discernment gets really, really dull. And we begin to allow things in. And listen, we as Christians will allow things in that God would never have us to have in our hearts and our minds, I mean. And we'll begin to entertain it. And once that happens, then it gets into our heart. And then how do we know it's in our heart? Because we wind up defending it. A couple of months ago, I spoke in a message against 50 Shades of Grey. Boy, did I get some. You don't understand, Pastor. That's the only thing that spices up our marriage. That's sick, man. Listen, that's sick. He has serious problems. If you need to get somehow inspired by the eroticism of others, you know how that happened? You let it entertain it in the mind, and then it got into your heart, and now you're defending an ungodly thing. Oh, Pastor, I'm a man, and you don't know. I'm not happy, so I've got to do this. I've heard it all. Let me tell you, I've heard it all. Isn't that interesting? The book of Proverbs, Solomon told his son, here's the deal. Now look, this is coming from Solomon. How many women did he have? But how many? Was it 700 or 1,000? Can you imagine having... Do the math. I mean, I don't even know if in your lifetime you come back to the same girl again. Solomon, he had all these women. And you know what? Then he told his son, I'm going to tell you something. And listen, married men in here, listen up. If you're not married, don't listen. Solomon told his son, let the breast of your wife satisfy you always. Not someone else's wife, your wife. That's an amazing statement coming from a man who had it all. He said, that ain't it. And so listen, what men need to do, and if, look, for the woman, you just switch the gender thing around here, okay? For the women, Mom, you don't know my husband. Hey, okay, listen, the same truth applies. Dear God in heaven, we need peace in our home. And men should pray, Lord, cause my wife, you help me now to cause, you make my wife to become the most attractive thing in the universe to me. You know God will do that? You know God will do that? But listen, you gotta cut ties, you gotta sever ties now with pornography. You're letting an enemy into your home that's destroying your life. You've played right into the hands of the enemy. You are actually now becoming a tool of the enemy. You may be saved, but you let it in your mind, and now you're defending it, and you use it as an argument, and now it's in your heart. I'm a Christian, but it's okay because my wife doesn't help me. Listen, you're messed up. Well, my husband's boring, so I read these books. You're messed up. No, you're messed up. I love you. You're messed up. It'll destroy you because, listen, your whole relationship's spiritual. Someday Jesus is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem just like he should be sitting on the throne of your heart now. We don't have to wait for the kingdom to arrive. Jesus says the kingdom is in your heart if you let it. And by the way, listen, I see some stunned looks on their faces out there right now. Every man in this room wants his wife to enjoy him and want him because he thinks and he wants to be valuable to her. And every woman wants to be known and looked at as beautiful and intelligent and meaningful to her husband. And the enemy will do everything to try to undo that in your life. Be very careful. What an amazing thing. God says you'll have perfect peace if your mind, if your imaginations are anchored to me. You cannot have that peace in your life when your imaginations are anchored to illegitimate, idol-worshipping concepts. You need to be free from that, and God wants you free from it. I wrote this down. I'm going to read it because I wrote it down. It meant a lot to me at the moment. I don't know. I'll read it right now again and see if it works. I wrote this to me and to us. Christian, you and you alone are responsible for your thought life. And here's the reason why it's so important. You cannot blame your actions on other people. Your actions are a result of your thought life. What you allow in your head is what you will do with your mouth and your body. Now, I wrote that to me, but I thought maybe it's good to share. Is it not true? Is it not true? I can't blame anybody for my actions. I do things because it first entered into my head. And then I acted upon it. Nobody made me. So how do I change? Jesus must be enthroned. Whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever I get involved in, it's because of my thought life. And God says, I'm going to do this. Look at the qualifier. I'm going to do this in your life because you trust me. Look at the end of verse 3. The word trust here is, this is amazing. It means to have confidence, security, to be bold, safe, carefree, and have or possess a confirmed hope. That's a cool word. A confirmed hope is this. It's a hope that is actually a reality. It's not like, oh, I hope the Angels do good this year. I hope the Dodgers win. That's not the kind of hope. That's not the word. The word is, I am so confident, I am so sure, because I've placed my hope in God, it's gonna happen. What's gonna happen? When I trust him, I'm gonna have this absolute assurance, and my mind will be anchored to him. I'll have absolute peace. This is not to be dreamed or dreamt of. Christian, this is a reality for us. Can we just pray right now? Good. Don't move. Let's just pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and God, I'm just asking you, Lord, this is so important. This verse is so great. Lord, if we're honest tonight, we can confess that we have been terrorized by our thought life. And it's not but nanoseconds of time when a thought arises that our emotions begin to kick in. And it's almost like a steel ball rolling down a hill. Imaginations, fear, feelings. And your word tells us to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ to combat this, to bring every thought under your rule, under your reign. Your word tells us that we should stop and meditate on what is good, to affix our minds and our attention, our focus to things that are holy, to things that bless you, that if we in this room are real Christians, we will hear you speaking. We will hear you say, not that, this. Turn away, come here. Lord, I confess publicly, I have heard you all my Christian life say that. You have never been silent in this matter. To those who might be wondering if you have ever spoken to them, well, this is one of the great sure tests. When we calm down tonight and slow down tonight, friends, listen, examine your own heart and mind and look back, recollect if you would. Have I ever heard God say so soft, so silently, flee that thing? Look to this instead. Don't do that. Do this. Come to me. Run from that. When I begin to think of that, Lord, it's countless. It's innumerable how well you've taken care of me. how you have so constantly, like a good shepherd, led us with rod and with staff, with voice and with touch. You're so amazing. And Father, tonight I pray that we would just recommit our lives to you afresh. There may be those here tonight that are thinking or saying, oh my goodness, I have failed so terribly in this. Well, now's the night. Tonight's the night. Friends, right where you're at right now, just God sees your heart. He hears the cry of your heart. He hears the cry of your soul right now. In your mind, you can be speaking to him saying something like, God, I want to start fresh tonight. I want you. I want the city of God to be in my heart. I want, Lord, my life to be your coordinates. Lord, I'm asking you tonight to drop the pen of GPS right on me and make me your own. And to the believers tonight, to renew that commitment. Tonight, listen, Christian, you might want to just say to him, I dedicate to you, God, afresh my mind. I renew my mind in you tonight. I'm praying for you right now, friend, that you would act in the power of God and the decision, the thought life that you have, that you would now be determining that you're going to flee those things that have been tripping you up. I'm not condemning you. God's not condemning you. I want you to be set free. And if I do, how much more does Christ? To shun those things that you know the Lord is saying stay away from and to cling to that which is good. What an awesome God you have. Father, we praise you. We worship you, Almighty God. We thank you for Jesus who came and made all this possible by going to the cross for our sins, dying there in my place, in our place, and being resurrected from the dead that we might be free. To live for your glory now, to thank you every day for that price paid at Calvary by us following you in obedience, loving obedience. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. And when we keep our eyes on the New Jerusalem, this city of God will always be in our hearts. 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we journey through this book of Isaiah, the prophecies he gave to Isaiah will give us a clear insight into the heart of God. Isaiah knew how much God loved him and also how much he loved Israel. He trusted God and he trusted the visions of the future that God was giving him. And you know, God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. Only his love can save us from the sin that separates us from him. So, if you've recently made a decision for salvation through Jesus Christ, or maybe you're ready to open up your heart towards him right now, but you've still got a few questions, well, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll see a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll not only find Bible scriptures to support your decision for Christ, but a special video invitation from Pastor Jack about what your commitment really means for your life. There's also a place for you to give us your email address and ask further questions if you'd like. It's all right there when you click that tab called Know God at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.